The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Dale Gibson in the studio. It's Catterick, Leicester and Southwell on Thursday afternoon. And we finish the day with all weather action on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. Plenty to go at. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is John Babb. How are you, John?
Oh, very well, thank you, Mark. Yep.
Good man. We'll start with a quick look at some of the news. And there's quite a bit about Union East, whether he should or shouldn't go to the Grand National. The idea is, I suppose, waiting on the weights to see what happens there. And he's currently 20-1 joint favourite with Shut the Front Door for the Grand National. If he was yours, John, would you send him to the big race at Aintree?
Well, I think of it a bit like as a punter, really. I mean, I couldn't entertain having a bet on a handicap race if I didn't know what the weights were, because it's just like it's a nonsense, really. And almost, it's the same if you own the horse, unless you see the framing of the race, it's very difficult to be sure. I mean, I can see the I can see the argument in the sense that, you know, he's in form, the race could be tailor-made for him, etc., etc. But also the other flip side is he's still quite young for the race as well. and the time's on his side. And they tend to have been a little bit generous in terms of they don't want to kill good horses in these races. So even if he goes on improving next year, he might have gone up in the weights, but his chance might not diminish for that.
Yeah.
Just because the way Phil Smith tried to handicap them, he has tried to give horses a decent chance at the top end and try to attract the better horses into the race. I wouldn't like to put any pressure on this family whether to run the horse or not. They've won the race. They've lost good horses on the track. I mean, for me, it's down to their decision. You know, it's their horse. But looking at it from a punter's point of view, I would just at least wait till the weights have come out. You wouldn't even be sure whether it's going to run then. But having a bet before the weights is nonsense, really.
Yeah, it's risky to say the least. Mm. And the fact that the statistics don't really go with him, do they? I mean, being a 7-year-old, it doesn't suit. French bred are problems as well. And I suppose in the long term as well, if you look at the winners of the Grand National in recent years, they haven't won another race since. So to end Union East winning streak at 7 is a bit bold, really, isn't it?
And obviously they won the race with Neptune at the end of his career, and I'm sure that'll be in there at the back of their mind. There's no reason why they can't come back to this race later.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's look at things that are a bit closer to hand anyway. We've got some big races coming up this weekend. The William Hill Lanzarote Hurdle being one of them. T for 2 heading the market at 6-1. Hello George 7s. 8s for Hammersley Lake and Kilcooley and Warranter. Dawalan is 9-1. 12s for Heath Hunter and Saffron Wells. And then 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Do you have an opinion on the race so far?
No, it's not one I've looked at. But I mean, Warrantor's a horse that's been, you know, really caught the eye in the novice ranks for me this year, and has really impressed. Slightly surprised to see him going into this type of race, to be honest. I mean, not to say he is at the moment. He obviously hasn't been declared, but he's certainly one I'd be wanted to keep on the right side at the moment. And that sort of jumps off the page, really. But purely because he's a novice who I didn't really expect in this kind of race.
Okay, so keep an eye on Warrantor in the Lanzarote. We've also got the Classic Chase this weekend as well, and Shotgun Paddy, who won the race last year, being talked up in the Racing Post as we record this. Currently 8-1 in the market. It's 5-1 for Return Spring. Carruthers and Shotgun Paddy are both 8s. 9s for Ben Bainhead. Riggin and Abortion is 10s, 11s or bigger for the others. Didn't really run his race in the Welsh National last time, John, but apparently he's all right. So would you give him a chance?
Oh yeah, he'd have to have a chance. Warwick's a strange, you know, track, and I'd definitely be looking for horses that have had a good form around Warwick in the past. With those five fences coming together, it doesn't always suit, the rhythm of the race doesn't always suit every horse. Just looking at these, I know West End Rocker may go well in the race. I would have thought he's gone well. I'm pretty sure he's run well in this race before. I don't know what the weather forecast again is between now and the weekend. I'm sure we'll be testing around Warwick on Saturday. I say betting before the final decks, I'd prefer to just wait. I don't think the prices will change that much. If something's 10, I'd rather take 7 or 8 on the day and look at the shape of the race.
Okay. One more thing to just touch on before we move on to Thursday's action. Duvan looks pretty exciting. He's going to be back out this weekend. Looking forward to seeing him.
Well, yeah, obviously learn a bit more about him with a couple of his runs being in France. We've only got that one very sort of exciting run at Gowran back in November, and so it's not a lot for punters to chew on really before Cheltenham, and I'm sure seeing him in another race, especially as the form's been franked by sizing John since, it does look very exciting, and it may well be that in terms of price, 9-2 for him for the Supreme Novice might look a very attractive price after Saturday, but we shall see. I mean, there doesn't seem any bottom, does there, to the William Mullins team, really. They just seem to have that many good horses. It's ridiculous, really.
Yeah, we saw Lamy Surge win at the weekend. He's going to go straight to the Supreme.
Yeah.
If Duvan comes out and stakes a claim, it'd shake up the betting again, wouldn't it? Because they're 5-1 joint favourites at the moment. So
definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to correlate the two pieces of form, to be honest. All I would say is an impressive performance from Duvan will probably strengthen him in the market. So I think he would definitely be favourite. But you can't say until you've seen it run. But we're expecting him to win, and we're expecting him to be impressive. Hmm. So the only thing that can happen is really you can be let down, I suppose. Because if he doesn't deliver if he delivers what we expect, he'll get trimmed up, he'll be favourite, and everybody's expected it. But then they haven't always been the same, have they? I mean, the chaser of the Mullins is
that
ran at Christmas. I mean, that was a massive letdown for everybody, really.
Yeah, that's the risks with anti-post betting, I suppose.
Exactly.
But you could look at it and think, if he's very impressive, he's going to shorten, so get on the 5-1 now. Would that be the way you look at it?
But I suppose Lamy Surge's form is very good. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that. So there's going to be opposition. It's not as if he's going to suddenly go to evens, I don't think. Even if he's impressive, for a race like the Supreme Novice with a full field, I mean, even on the day, I mean, he's not going to be massive odds on, I wouldn't think. So how sure can he go at this stage? Probably 2-1, 5-2. That's probably as low as he could go, I think, really.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, we'll move on. Let's take a closer look at Thursday's action. John's picked out three races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Thursday. John's picked out two races for us at Southwell and one of them at Wolverhampton, starting in the 120 at Southwell. This is a maiden over 5 furlongs and 6 of them in the lineup. What's made you choose this race, John?
Well, I thought that obviously that we might get a market that's, I mean, because obviously sitting here on the day before, you're guessing how they're going to bet. But we've got a couple of horses in here, like Hell of a Lord, who had good 2-year-old form early on, but he's been off a fair few months. He's got a good stall in stall one over the 5 furlongs. We've got a good record that stall has. And then we've got Landing Knight coming back off a break from Andor Fields. They have got decent 2-year-old form. Punters aren't going to know how to play them, really, with their breaks. I'm going to take a chance on David Evans' horse, Come Up, and who's had plenty of chances, I guess, punters will see. He's been running in Sellers, Claimers, Maidens. He keeps finishing second. He looked as though he'd finally got the job done last week. He went about 5 lengths clear and still got beat on the line. But I'm going to take a chance with him because he's by Captain Gerard, and it's his first go at Southwell. There isn't that many Captain Gerards around, but the strike ratio has been good at this track so far. And I suppose the one option left to him is Fibersand. He's got a fair bit of early pace. He's race fit from the Dave Evans yard. You're not sure about the other two in main opposition. Hard to fancy the others in the race, really, unless the John Jenkins newcomer was. But I think that the bookmakers will make it be very difficult to make Come Up and too short. And I think punters will be wary of getting with him because they've probably burnt their fingers on him. And there might be some money for one of these new horses that have been off quite a while. So I'm in the chance that Come Up and is going to be second or third favourite with a bit of luck. I'd take him as being a value bet in that race.
Yeah, he has gone close, hasn't he? So maybe the Fibersand will just bring that little bit more out in him.
And as I say, he showed plenty of early last time. John Egan knows the horse now and gets a tune out of him. So maybe his race fitness and sharpness will just get him away at Sullivan. He'll find the horses that aren't ready to run might find it hard to peg him back.
The 350 at Southall is where we go next. And this one is a class 5 handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs. Only 4 of them in the lineup for this one, John. And several of them come into this in pretty good nick. So which way do you go in that?
Yeah, offshore one here from the James Tate Yard after a few seconds, a reasonable second at Wolverhampton the time before. Then one here by half a length from Brosnan. One of my horses finished third, Pyrocumulus. The form has been frank since, but I've just got a little bit of doubt about this horse stepping up to a mile 3. I'd have the same sort of query with Spindle, who runs the track and ran the track well yesterday, finishing second. But the one, again, I'm taking a chance against horses that have run on the track. This is unusual, again, for me. I'm picking two horses at Southall today that haven't run at Southall, and that's a very rare thing that I do. But the Quest for Wonder is shaped as if Southall will suit him. He looks like a one-pace galloper. And the one thing he definitely is, he's bred to stay. He's sort of from Aga Khan-type family, middle distance. It looks like he's, you know, definitely going to be a mile 4 horse next year. So a mile 3 at Southall will take a lot of getting for a 3-year-old in January. Yep. And I take his stamina reserves. And the other angle into this, I've noticed the two jockey bookings from James Tate. One of them, Danny Tudhope, has only ever had 2 rides for James Tate and hasn't ridden a winner yet. Yet Graham Lee's ridden 10 from 38 at a reasonable strike rate of 26% for a profit. And obviously Graham Lee's been the man that's put on Quest for Wonder. Again, early indications are that all these horses are going to be odds against. I don't fancy the Evans horse, to be honest. Josie Joe looks outgraded, really. I would have thought this horse will probably be around between 6-4 and 2-1, and I'd take him as a reasonable bet there.
Okay, Quest for Wonder then in the 350 at Southwell, and to Wolverhampton we go for their last race, the 715, and this is a class 7 handicap. Over the extended 5 furlongs, nearly 6, and I suppose Yahala's quite interesting here, turned out under the penalty after winning at Wolverhampton last time. The visor looked to have done the trick that day, John. Do you see him following up?
Yeah, he's definitely got a chance. Class 7. I like this race even more now. The lower the grade, the more I like him. Definitely got a chance. Drawn out in stall 12, though. I had Declan Bates on the other day, claiming 3. Now with 6 extra, John Egan on a wide box. I think the horse is due to go up 7 or 8 pounds, so he's technically well in. Some of those down the bottom, I couldn't really fancy too much. Diamond Vine's well handicapped now, but he's got box 13. But the horse that really catches the eye is number 2, Trending, from the Jeremy Gaskyard, who've hit a little bit of form with a small team that they're keeping going recently. And this horse's form at Wolverhampton over 6 furlongs does warrant close inspection. All his runs here over, most of his runs here over 6 furlongs have been very good, very near the mark. Was a fast, a finishing second last time behind Hamis Albin. That was his second run back after a layoff. I don't think he'd run since the summer. He had one run round Kempton, come back to his sort of favourite track, Wolverhampton, and seems to have found a good opportunity in a 45-50 grade, because this is the lowest grade he's ever run in his career. Most of the time he's been rated around about 60. And with David Parks claiming 7, looks well handicapped against these horses here today. Don't know what price he is. He looks the sort that's probably... You're not going to get rich on him. I don't think he's going to be much bigger than about 3-1, 7-2 if you're lucky. But he looks a reasonable bet.
Okay. Trending then in the lucky last from Wolverhampton. Thanks, John. Are you going to be at Wolverhampton tomorrow?
There's a possibility, more chance than there is for Friday.
Right, okay. well, we might hear you on Racing Radio. Thanks a lot anyway, John, and enjoy it.
Okay.
So there you go, the thoughts of John Babb on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Dale Gibson will be the team in the studio. It's Catrick, Leicester and Southwell in the afternoon, and we finish with an evening card at Wolverhampton. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.